Thank you so much for coming back for this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane, and Dr. Dobson, I must say, it is always a good day when we have the First Lady of Broadcasting, your wife, Mrs. Dobson, sitting in the studio with us.
I always love it when Shirley can join us. She is, as I think most of our listeners know, the chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. She's been in that role now for 22 years. Shirley, when Vonette Bright asked you to accept this responsibility, I was there, I heard it, and you took several days to think and pray about that, weren't sure that you ought to do it, in fact, turned her down a time or two, and then the Lord put his hand in your back and said, "This is what I want of you." And your response was, I can do that for a couple of years. It's now been 22, and you're still at it. But the Lord has blessed in that effort, hasn't he?
He certainly has. And I certainly didn't expect to be here 22 years later. But I've been in prayer about, Lord, how much longer do you want me to be the chairman of the National Day of Prayer? And I'm willing to stay as long as you want me to stay. And I just have not felt that hand lifted off of me. And I have such concern for our country more than ever, more than when I started. We desperately need prayer. And so it's still an honor to serve in this capacity.
Well, I'm very, very proud of you for what you've done and what the Lord has done through you. Also with us is John Bornsheen. John is the vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, your right-hand person, Shirley, and he has worked for a number of organizations, wonderful organizations, over the last 17 years in ministry, including the Mission of Mercy and Heritage Builders. He's been on this program a number of times, and he lives with his family here in Colorado Springs. And, John, are you still energized by
what
you're doing?
Absolutely. Every year just gets better and better, and witnessing people coming to the Lord on bended knee for the National Day of Prayer is certainly something that I look forward to every year.
And there's a lot of anticipation about this year's National Day of Prayer.
There certainly is.
Well, we're also very, very honored to have with us by phone Pastor Greg Laurie. He's the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. He has written a number of books, including The Upside Down Church and Wrestling with God. He resides in Newport Beach, California, with his wife, Catherine. Pastor Laurie, it is so good to not only have you participating with us today, but in having you accept the responsibility as the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer.
Well, Dr. Dobson and Mrs. Dobson, I'm so honored that you guys would ask me. And the moment Shirley called me, I said yes before she said, I just waited for her to finish her sentence because not only do I thank God for both of you and your role in the church and in our country, but also this important day that we should all be praying for our country. I mean, we should pray for America every day, but I think it's a really great thing to come together on one day and pray corporately because, you know, there is power in corporate prayer. There is power in praying together and praying specifically, not like, Lord, you know, save the world or Lord, bless the missionaries. Prayers like that are largely ineffective. We need to get specific and pray for things that matter. And so I am so thankful to be a part of the National Day of Prayer this year.
Well, I am also excited about having you serve in this capacity. I've known you for a long time, but became better acquainted with you when you invited me to come out for your Harvest Crusade. And you had 50,000 people, most of them young, who were on fire for the Lord. And you and I did an interview together, and I saw the reach of your ministry. And as busy as you are now to accept this responsibility, and others have said this, but Shirley called to tell you she has a marvelous plan for your life. And, that's what it comes down to. So anyway, thanks for being with us. I'm going to start with a question to you that's on my heart and mind. If I'm reading the mood of the American people at this time, especially Christians, there is great concern for the welfare of our nation. I think more than I've ever seen it in my adult lifetime. And one pastor whom you would know, I won't name him, but he said to me this week, we're losing ground morally all the time. And he said, I've told my people, get ready for persecution because it's coming. It's coming to everyone who is a vocal believer in Jesus Christ. And he said that he really expects to end his life in prison. I don't know if you'd put it that way, but are you also aware of a growing anxiety or angst that's out there at this time?
Well, there's no question, Dr. Dobson, that there is a complete, total moral meltdown happening in our country. And it seems to be happening at an accelerated rate right now, almost shockingly so. And this is due to just a lack of knowing God. But I think the only ultimate thing that could turn our country around right now is a revival. We need an awakening. And we've had them in our nation in the past when things also were very dark. And we need another one. Now, I don't think we can make a revival happen. I don't think we can even plan for a revival. I mean, plan a revival specifically. We can prepare the ground for it. But it seems to me that revival is a sovereign work of God. However, it seems we can prepare our hearts and we can do our part. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is often invoked, and I do think it's relevant, which talks about how a nation can be healed. And it is interesting that when God points the finger, so to speak, he doesn't point it at government per se. He points it at his people. In other words, God doesn't point his finger at the White House. He points his finger at his house. And he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive them and heal their land. And so it's interesting that it really starts with us. So I think if we're not even showing up for a prayer meeting on the National Day of Prayer, that's part of the problem right there. We can point our finger all day long at the country and at Hollywood and at Washington, but hey, are we even going to take the time to see the urgency of the hour and pray for our country?
Mm-hmm. You know, the word revival is a very old term. My father was an evangelist, and he talked often about the need for a revival. There are young people listening to us right now who don't know what that means. Revive. How does that look? How would it manifest itself in this country if we had a national spiritual renewal?
A revival is to get back to original condition. I mean, let's say you're driving on the road and you see a beautifully restored 1957 Chevy. Looks like it just pulled off the showroom floor, except that it's very old, but it's been restored to perfection. You know, that's been revived in effect. So we're trying to get our nation back to where it once was. I mean, look, we understand that not all of our founding fathers were Christians, but many of them, to the point, were. And at the very least, even those that weren't perhaps outright Christians, they still believed in a Judeo-Christian worldview. But we've gotten so far from that today, it's ridiculous. So to revive or to have an awakening means that there is a turning to God. You know, I think in America, people will say today, so many, well, I'm not into organized religion. I'm into spirituality, which is non-believer code for, I don't want to be a part of a church and I don't want to hear the gospel. But I tell you, our work is cut out for us, and it seems to me that revival is what God does for us, but evangelism is what we do for him. So the church needs revival, and the world, the culture, needs evangelism. But it starts with us, God's people, getting right with him, and I can't think of a better place to get this going than on the National Day of Prayer, which is only a couple of weeks away.
When you talk this way, what's the response of young people particularly? I mean, do they even sense a need for repentance and turning that back to God? Do they have any concept of that?
Well, you know, I would just say some do, some don't. But largely, I find people are very hungry for this message. I find that people are very hungry for biblical teaching. I think, Dr. Dobson and Mrs. Dobson, one of the problems in our country is due to the church not doing its job. And I think I can speak to this because I've been a pastor for 40 years. And my concern in the church is there is a biblical illiteracy. In the church, there's a lack of biblical exposition. And so sometimes even in the church, there is a lot of immorality and maybe a very liberal worldview where people would even vote for candidates that would represent views that are so contrary to what Scripture teaches. So my concern for the church is that we would get back to teaching the Bible unapologetically, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and let the Word of God do what it does. And I think that could really turn things around. And that's what our focus has always been at our church. But I think the other thing is the church is losing sight of today. We're not doing as much as we should as evangelizing. It's just going out and presenting the gospel to people and calling them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It seems like we're having conferences and concerts and special events all the time, but my great passion is for Bible exposition and the proclamation of the gospel to the culture.
John, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the pastor. Are you also witnessing or observing a major concern about the meltdown that's going on?
Well, absolutely. I think one of the great revivals that we spoke of, and I believe it was 1857, was Jeremiah Lampier and the Fulton Street Revival. Mm-hmm. And it began with prayer. It began at a time when people were on the streets without work, immorality abounded, and it took a few young men to gather together in prayer. And then suddenly you have a million people that come together out of that praying to God and asking for revival and transformation of lives. And we're seeing that in young people today. I am very encouraged by what I'm seeing of young people who have witnessed the hypocrisy, have witnessed the self-help Christianity or the ideas where we speak one word, as Isaiah says, you come to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. They have witnessed that, and it seems like they are pulling into this idea that Francis Chan and David Platt and others who have said, enough with lukewarm Christianity. It's time to take our plowshare and never look back, the Luke 9 and Luke 14 passion that we need out of Christians today.
Well, you referred to a million people coming together to pray that led to the Great Awakening. Mm-hmm. But the National Day of Prayer will bring together, or it will motivate, multiple millions. We don't know how many millions, but there are, you know, people all across this country on that day especially who will be calling on the Lord. And this is what we would hope they would be saying to
Absolutely.
Him.
You know, if I can just brag on your wonderful wife for just a moment, and I know that many have heard from her throughout
John,
the years.
John, it goes to her head. Be careful.
Well, you know, she deserves it because she's been a woman of faith who has modeled what she has taught. In her powerful book on prayer, where we use the PRAY acronym of Praise, Repent, Ask and Yield, has been a model for so many. And you know, I look at just the history. If you look at the history in our nation since Shirley Dobson took the leadership of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, we've had over 1,100 proclamations for prayer in this country by our nation's leaders. And you mentioned the millions. We have been able to track over 600,000 prayer events where 33 million people gathered together and pray because of her leadership.
Isn't that interesting? And I can tell you that when Shirley accepted this responsibility, she put her hands in the air and said, Lord, how do I do this? And the Lord said, I'm going to help you.
Like Moses with a stick, right? Looking out over the Red Sea and let God do the work.
First of all, John, that was very kind. We all know we couldn't do what we do without the Lord. One of my little slogans that I live by is where God guides, God provides. And Amen. He's given me an incredible team and task force to come alongside me, and I couldn't have done it without them. But in talking about revival. I was reading in the scriptures about the city of Nineveh and how they had fallen into immorality and idolatry and had stepped away from God. And God sent Jonah, the prophet, to tell them he was going to destroy them in 40 days. And the people got word of this, and the king got word of it, and it says that he took off his robes, he put on sackcloth, mm-hmm. he sat in the dust, and he sent out a decree that animals and herds and flocks, and even the people were not to eat anything. They were to fast. And this is what I liked. He says, who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And he called the people to urgently repent and to turn from their evil ways and their violence. And that's what we're trying to call for in this country. We have seen over and over on television the violence, the innocent children and adolescents that have been slaughtered. And we need to come before God in a posture of sackcloth and ashes and repentance for the sins of our nation.
Greg, there have been 55 million babies murdered since 1973. That's got to grieve the heart of the Lord. How can he bless a nation that would do that kind of thing to its children?
I know. And you stop and think, among the 55 million, would there have been one that would have been our president? Would they have been someone who found the cure for cancer? Would there have been another Billy Graham? I mean, you think of all those people. I mean, thankfully, I believe that, you know, when a child dies, they go into the presence of the Lord. So they're with the Lord, but that doesn't excuse this horrific sin and disregard for human life. And as Mrs. Dobson was just saying, Nineveh was actually renowned for its wickedness. God actually said in the early part of the book of Jonah that their wickedness was full to the brim. And yet God spoke to a man, of course, Jonah, who reluctantly went and preached, and there was this revival. So really, this starts with us. This is a grassroots thing. And coming back to something that John was talking about, the revival that took place in New York City, that was an amazing revival. And also, it's worth noting that the New York stock market had crashed around this time. So there was sort of an environment where people were seeing their need for God. And I think as we see the economic problems in our country, the problems of violent crime, abortion on demand, and all the other things that are happening, people are beginning to realize we're in trouble. I mean, imagine this just for a moment. 1 million people came to Christ as a result of that revival. On any given day in New York City, people were filling the theaters for giant prayer meetings. So this was like something only God could do. And my prayer is that God will do it again.
You know, Pastor, I have to just concur with you on that, because I was just reading in Jeremiah chapter 3 the other day, and it caught my attention when he talks to the wayward people, and he says, if you come back to me, my wayward people, then I will give you leaders who honor me. Mm-hmm. Now, the context was talking about shepherds, but you see that bottom-up approach where we constantly blame D.C. for our problems when it starts with us, the people.
Yeah, that's true, John. Let's talk about the logistics and the circumstances of the National Day of Prayer, because we only have about three more minutes. It will occur on what date?
May 2nd.
And surely the theme this year?
It's a simple theme, but very urgent. Pray for America. And the supporting scripture is Matthew 12:21, which says, in his name, the nations shall put their hope, not in government, not in business, not in education, not in any centers of power, but in God we put our hope.
John, talk about the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. It's not the only place. We hope that everywhere people are gathered, there will be those who are praying, whether it's at courthouses or in front of a school or in a church or in homes,
absolutely,
in cars. People can pray.
We are looking at 42,000 events this year. That's what we are praying for. Mm. Now, if God blows us away and does 60 or 100,000, wonderful. But we believe we'll have 42,000 events. And people can learn how to get involved at nationaldayofprayer.org. The National Observance in Washington, D.C. will be broadcast live, where Pastor Greg Laurie will be one of the featured speakers, along with many other distinguished speakers.
Where can people see it or hear?
Right at nationaldayofprayer.org, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time live. It'll be rebroadcast in the afternoon.
Talk about some of the people who are going to be there, including Pastor Laurie.
Pastor, well, of course, you, Dr. Dobson, Shirley Dobson, Pat Boone, Congressman Frank Wolf. We have many distinguished guests from our military, from our judicial branch, and others.
We're going to be celebrating 25 years since the signing into law of the first Thursday of May by President Ronald Reagan. And the original signers, almost all of them are coming, which
That's
is
right.
very exciting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And surely there's a very special guest that people are going to love to hear.
Everybody loves Whitley Phipps, especially mm-hmm. when he sings Amazing Grace with his powerful voice. And he's going to be our special soloist.
And you don't need tickets to be there. But nope. it will be crowded.
So it will. Standing room only.
Come early. Yeah. Pastor Laurie, have you had time to think about what you're going to speak about?
Well, I mean, it just comes out of my heart. I'm going to speak on the need for an awakening in America, the need for God's people to pray. That revival starts with us. One of the great evangelists, Charles Finney, said, revival is God's finger pointed at you. My feeling is if we don't have a revival, man, the worst days imaginable are ahead. We know judgment ultimately would come to the whole world, but let's just pray that we have at least one more great awakening in our land, maybe two, even three. That's up to the Lord. But let's do all that we can to pray to that end and see what the Lord will do through the National Day of Prayer this year.
Greg, I love you because you have a great heart for the Lord. And our time is really gone, but you came out of the Jesus movement in the 60s,
right.
didn't you?
Yes, and that really was a revival, Dr. Dobson. It's not always included in the Great Awakenings, but it really turned a whole generation around, and I was one of those kids that came to Christ during that time. I came to believe in Jesus in 1970, and that revival launched hundreds, maybe thousands of what we call mega churches today, people that are in ministry today as pastors, that came to Christ during that time of the year. So, man, we need another Jesus movement for sure.
Well, as part of your responsibility as the honorary chairperson of the National Day of Prayer, you have written a prayer, and I hope that you've got it in front of you. Share it with us as we close.
Father, we come to you to pray for our nation, the United States of America. How you have blessed us through the years, Lord. We rightly sing, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Yet we see trouble in our culture. We see the breakdown of the family, crippling addictions, and random acts of horrific violence. Lord, we need your help in America. In recent days, we've done our best to remove your word and your counsel from our courtrooms, classrooms, and culture. It seems, as President Lincoln once said, that we have forgotten God, but Lord, you have not forgotten us. You can bless and help and revive our country again. Scripture tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So Lord, in your mercy, we ask that you would exalt our country again. We've had a number of great awakenings in America. We've experienced times of refreshing and revivals that change not only the spiritual, but the moral landscape. And as the psalmist said, will you not revive us again so your people may rejoice in you? That's our prayer for America today, Lord. Send a mighty spiritual awakening that will turn the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, back to you. You've told us if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will forgive our sins and heal our land. So forgive us today, Lord, and heal this troubled land that we love so much. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's
Amen.
A beautiful
Amen.
Prayer, and thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. Luann, you never got a word in, but there are four big talkers here, but take us off the air. And your heart beats with what we're talking about.
I think it's very important to point out that while the four of you will be in D.C., I will be joining one of those 42,000 local events, and I know many others will join me. There is something most likely happening in your community, and if you go to drjamesdobson.org, we'll have a link to finding that information.
God's blessings to you all.
And God bless America. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
Amen. Thank you.
And one more time, drjamesdobson.org is the place to start. Of course, you can also call us for that information, 877-732-6825. Either way, you need to find the link we have to the National Day of Prayer website, and there you can easily click on their events tab, which will tell you exactly what type of opportunities are already in the mix in your area. And very quickly in the close, you just heard Dr. Dobson mention that this year's honorary chairman, Pastor Greg Laurie, has his own story of being dramatically transformed by the power of the gospel. You can hear more about Pastor Laurie's amazing testimony in just a few weeks right here on Family Talk, as we will be featuring that leading up to the 2013 National Day of Prayer. Again, all of this and more at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and we do encourage you to return tomorrow as we will bring you an update on religious liberty issues that are occurring across America. It's time for you to become an informed citizen, and tune in and you can find out how. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.